up? This is Movies On Up, episode R8, D7, Your Every Fear, all in one deadly enemy. If you're sitting around thinking, God, I don't know what tagline that is, what movie that could be. Well, it's not necessarily from a movie, but if you listened last week, it's going to be a movie, so I think it's fair.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a curveball, but if you listened last week, it's pretty easy. Like, it's really easy once you think about it.
Yeah, just stop and think about it. Make sure you send it in an email to us at moviesonup@gmail.com.
Or at Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I see what you did there. That was a good one. Twitter at, what are we, at moviesonup?
At moviesonup.
All right. So it's it. All right. The hell with it.
Yeah.
We just want somebody to win. So just somebody respond. Make us feel good. Like we're not just in Dave's daughter's room talking to ourselves. A little positive encouragement never hurt anybody. So that's it for our tagline this week. In addition to all the stuff that we ask you to do on a weekly basis, check us out on iTunes, leave us a review. That does help. It does make a bit of difference in the world that is iTunes.
And I like reading them.
Dave likes to read them. I like it when Dave says, hey, we have an iTunes review, and that's only happened just the once, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see if we can remedy that by next week. Somebody leave us a review, preferably a good one.
I don't care. Just leave us any review.
Fair enough.
Doesn't even have to be for our show. Just
be honest.
Leave us a review.
Review something.
Our show is a bonus. Like, if you give it for our show, then you get bonus points, but just leave an iTunes review.
Of a podcast that you listen to. And yeah, maybe if we like it, we'll listen to that one too. Things that would, if they were eligible for an iTunes review, Adam Sandler this week probably would not get a very high review for his movie.
No, that's my boy. 13 million. We're going to forget what I set the over under at last week. Cause I do forget.
I don't remember.
I know it was way high.
Had to be 20s, right?
I think I put it at 40 or 50.
Oh, I hope
just because Adam Sandler has, like, he has some clout still.
You would think.
I put Rock of Ages up high, but nobody went out to see either one of them.
No.
That's my boy came in fourth with 13 million. We talk about a lot about per screen average. That's $4,000 average.
That's my bomb.
That's pretty bad. Rock of Ages, not much better. Actually, a lower per screen average, but it was on a lot more screens, so it came in third with $14 million. So last week's number one and two stayed. Madagascar 3 brought another 34 in. Prometheus up another 20, despite dropping 60%. So Snow White and the Huntsman still holding on. That's your top five.
So do you think maybe it was just was it a bad weekend for movies, or do you think the weather did kind of play any part into it?
I think
a nice weekend.
I think we're getting better as a society at going to the movies.
At going to the summer movies?
I think so, because look at Battleship a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Didn't do well. People didn't flock out to see Dark Shadows. Like, these movies that you look at and you think, who would want to see these? Nobody's going to see it.
People are answering no one.
Yeah, and I mean, are we getting to a point where Prometheus can come out? You're going to have more Inceptions and stuff like Snow White and the Huntsman that are, yeah, it's an old tale, but it's something new.
It's a different spin.
Yeah,
it's like, not the same regurgitated dick and fart jokes.
Maybe we're heading that way. Speaking of something that's not like anything else, Moonrise Kingdom, we've talked about every week for the past four. It jumped up to number 9 this week. It increased 82 screens. But just put that in perspective, that puts it at 178 screens across the country. It's in 9th place. The next lowest is Battleship's on 942 screens, and that was in 10th. Everything else is at least 1,100. Most of them are 2,500 plus. So it's hanging in there. It had the highest per screen average in the top 10 at 12,500. The next was Madagascar, just under 8. So it needs to get more theaters, but
yeah,
people are still seeing it.
We've been saying that for weeks that, you know, it's
and
obviously
it's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming. It's riding that buzz train.
And I'm sure that like we've been saying, that eventually it will get into more theaters. We'll all be able to see it. It's just unfortunate that, you know, you look at kind of what came out last week, and if you weren't into hair metal, or if you weren't into Adam Sandler, you thought, boy,
if you weren't into people stuck in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You thought, boy, this would be an excellent weekend to have something, you know, of substance that I could actually go see. But, you know, what are you going to do? Like, it's not around, so you can't see it. Speaking of movies that are not going to be around, that you're not going to be able to see, I feel like we're kind of repeating the same story all the time as it pertains to Paramount, but they're just like fucking things up left and right. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about G.I. Joe getting pushed back because of reshoots and having to rewrite C-Tates back into the movie. We touched a little bit on the reshoots that are coming for World War Z, the Brad Pitt zombie pick.
Also the rewrites on that one too.
Yeah, exactly. We're starting to see a little bit of a pattern here, and I think we've mentioned before that Hollywood doesn't make movies, they make release dates, unless you're Paramount, in which case you have release dates that you're...
They're lucky if they make either one.
Yeah, that's true. The way they're going. A third movie has been pushed back. It was scheduled for a Christmas release, which is kind of a big deal.
Of 2013.
Of 2013. But holiday, usually, if you're going to come out in the holidays, damn it, you're coming out in the holiday season. This movie has been pushed all the way back to May of 2014, and the movie of which we speak is the Michael Bay reboot of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise.
Which, in his version, are not mutants.
They're Martians, aren't they?
Yeah, and may not be teenage. So, Ninja Turtles got pushed back. But here's the thing, is they pushed it back 6 months, and I mean, getting bumped to May, that's still not a bad slot.
Like, no.
They're banking on this being a blockbuster one way or the other, whether it's a Christmas one or a summer one. But here's the thing, they only bumped it back 6 months. They've stopped production indefinitely.
Yeah, is kind of nebulous.
They just announced last week or the week before, I think it was last week, I didn't put it on the outline because I didn't care, they were going to start filming this year in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think pre-production's already begun.
Yeah, this is just 2 weeks ago that they said, oh, we're going to start filming by the end of the year. And then a week later, we're not doing anything.
Not only are we not filming, but we are not, the script's not done.
Well, they don't want the script done the way it's going. They don't, a lot of the pushback is because of how weak the script is.
I guess there were some other reasons too. They were trying to cut maybe 10 to 20 million off the budget, which sounds kind of weird for a Michael Bay film that we're looking to trim, well, you know, 10 million.
Plus the fan backlash, I think, had a lot to do with it.
The people were not fans of
the people
middle-aged Martian Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, the people came out so strong against Michael Bay, saying they're from an outer planet. Like, if you want to make a movie about aliens that know ninja stuff, that do it. Just don't take this thing that everybody
don't call
loves
it and, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But then people wouldn't go see his movie. Like, he's got. People talk about, oh, George Lucas raped my childhood. No, Michael Bay has raped my childhood between what he's doing with Transformers and now the Turtles. I mean, that was right in my wheelhouse.
Plus Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, like all that stuff. Those
and
dunes, aren't they?
Yeah, there's another one he's doing too, is Rosemary's Baby.
Ugh.
Yeah, God damn it. I just wish he'd keep his hands and his penis to himself.
But it just... Like, this thing came out and there was a huge internet backlash and he didn't.
And there should have been.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is people are like, oh, well, why bitch about it? Because sometimes you could be heard.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's 100% why this got pushed
back. Well, Paramount
back.
Will listen to you. They've already, you know, with the G.I. Joe thing, if there's one studio that'll listen to you, it's Paramount.
Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt to make that noise. If nobody's listening to it, then whatever. You're getting it off your chest.
Yeah.
But if you're getting it off your chest and nobody hears it, whatever. It's win-win. Like, either way.
What do you have to lose?
Exactly. So, I mean, if you're upset that he's... And I'm not one... I don't complain about remakes. I don't complain about reboots because I don't care. But when you want to take something and just change it to where it's not even recognizable...
I'm sure it's going to be recognizable.
It's going to be
Ninja Turtles.
And that
they look like the Ninja Turtles.
It's going to be Ninja Turtles. Yeah. There's going to be the same characters, but... You're changing the entire backstory. You're changing, and you got to understand, it's so popular because people are close to this. Like, people,
yeah.
They didn't just like the idea that, oh, these ninjas like pizza and kick people. Like, they grew up with this story.
And it's not just, like, at this point, it's really kind of like two generations. I mean, they've kind of redone that cartoon.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and there are kids that are 8, 9, 10 years old that are going, wait, Martians? Get the hell out of here with that.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Like,
I mean, the Turtles franchise could use a reboot. I mean, they just
had one.
A
reboot.
They just had one a couple of years ago, and that was not good.
There was some good jokes in it.
There were some, but I mean, I was there opening weekend thinking, all right, cool, new Turtles.
I want a live action reboot. I do. I don't want Michael Bay producing it.
And no, uh-uh.
The director they got, I don't trust. Like, I don't put it in the hands of somebody that cares about it. That cares about the story and not cares about how you can make the story
how it can monetize
better. Yeah, like, if you feel like you need to improve the story, you don't give a fuck about the source material.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, if you need to fuck with the origin, get the fuck away from it because you don't give a shit. You're not connected to it.
Yeah, I mean, we really haven't seen, that I can think of, plenty of reboots, but generally speaking, the origins still are pretty similar. I mean, Nolan really didn't mess with, you know, Batman's origin all that much.
Like,
I mean, yeah, I don't. It does seem weird that, all right, I'm going to take this franchise because I know it's going to make me money, but I'm going to pretend that it's my franchise and I'll do with it whatever I want, which is disrespectful to the source material. And it's disrespectful to the people that care about the source material.
Yeah.
You'll watch whatever I tell you to watch.
Pretty much. Just if you want to do it, just do it. Just don't put the name of something we love on it.
And don't put the name of something we love and come out with a crappy reboot or a crappy sequel. Which is kind of apropos to our next story. Something else from the 80s that's been long rumored. There's been times where I felt like, you know, Ghostbusters 3 was ready to go. But it's been kind of pushed.
I figure 10 years now we've been talking. It's been ready to go. It's been, oh, they got a script. They're going to do it. And then just back and forth, just no.
There's been so many different kind of rumors on this movie from, well, are they looking to reboot it? Are they looking to, you know, keep the original cast, have the movie be with the whole movie as the original cast, or maybe just them for a little bit?
See, I like the idea. I don't know how well the script came out because I don't know if the script ever made it out there, but there was the idea about 10 years ago where Ghostbusters 3 was, you had your original Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. And somehow the gates to hell opened up.
Yeah, I remember the Ghostbusters original, go to hell script.
The Ghostbusters go to hell, but they have younger Ghostbusters to still fight the stuff on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like two storylines where they're going to hell to shut the gates, and then you have the younger ones on Earth, like it's kind of like passing the torch.
Yeah.
I thought that was an awesome idea. It's going to be expensive.
I think that was, with the CG for going to hell, I do think that's... kind of curtailed that particular script. What has curtailed the latest script is one Dr. Pete Venkman.
Yeah, and a lot of people are giving Bill Murray like crap because he's been the holdout. But he admitted last week or a week or two ago, a
couple weeks,
he came out and said he's not signed on because he doesn't like the script. Like, he's not going to do it just to do it. It's not a Beverly Hills Cop 3 for him to where... He just wants the paycheck. He wants, if he's going to do it, he's going to do it right. And they have a script by Gene Sapnitsky and Lee Eisenberg from
The Office.
From The Office. Dan Aykroyd's already touched it up. But the thing that Bill Murray's talking about is he doesn't like the script, but he's willing to keep trying.
Yeah.
He wants them to work on the script. He knows there's funny people involved that if they can fix the script...
And I don't have a problem with Bill Murray saying, hey, I'm going to hold out until I get a script that's as good as the first one. He's been on record to say that, you know, the second one was not as good. And he's right. It wasn't as good, but it was still enjoyable. My question, though, is, I mean, if you remember back to the Scream Awards on Spike, he came out on the stage in character, dressed as Pete Venkman. Now, to me, that kind of would lead people to believe, and I think rightly so, that Ghostbusters 3 is a lot closer than we think it is. And he didn't have to do that, but he did it. And then if you think back a couple years ago to the Ghostbusters video game that had all of the original voices, I played through that game. The story was terrible. Terrible. Yeah, but he was okay with that.
But that's different. Putting it out for a video game and releasing it on the big screen, completely different things.
So you're saying it's okay for a video game to have a shit script?
Yeah, I don't play video story? Games, so I don't get
No,
a fuck.
You don't, but I do, and I bought it because it was Ghostbusters, and because it had all the original people involved. And, I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't go break the game after I got done with it, but I thought, that's...
But, I mean, Bill Murray's at the point in his career where he only has to make movies he wants to make.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to make any movies.
No, he doesn't have to, but...
If he's not 100% behind it, I'm fine. I'm fine with this because if we get a Ghostbusters 3, it'll be worth it, I think, because there'll be so much in it that... is so they will have taken their time.
Well, but, they've definitely taken their time.
But at this point, brings up the big question. At this point, do we want a Ghostbusters 3, or are we better off just rebooting it and starting over? Do we want to see Fat Harold Ramis and Fat Dan Aykroyd?
I absolutely do. I mean, if you think about it, like if you were to just remake Ghostbusters, do I necessarily care as you know a 30-year-old guy about a story about grown men trying to catch ghosts? No, I don't really care all that much. Do I care about, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Ernie Hudson, and Bill Murray trying to do it? Yes, because I like those dudes.
If they do a Ghostbusters 3, you have to Mutt Williams it. You absolutely have to. You have to have this younger crew.
Because I think they will.
With the technology, like the way technology is now, you have to have these young kids that have a better grasp on today's technology over these old guys and then pass it off.
You have to Chris Rock it like Lethal Weapon. I would absolutely be down with that. Well, yeah.
You get Chris Rock from Lethal Weapon 4, but you don't get Mutt Williams?
I got the Mutt Williams, but you see, I didn't care for Crystal Skull, so I'm
I
just
didn't
pretending
either,
you
but
didn't
the whole
mention.
Point was
you
they
need someone
had
young.
Mutt Williams, and they wanted to spin off and make more Indiana Jones movies under a different name.
But they're not going to now. They still
because
have...
it sucked.
Right. But I mean, they didn't do it with Lethal Weapon either. But I'm just saying, like, I like the I'm too old for this shit. Like getting that from all the original Ghostbusters and having someone else there, not as the main focus of the story.
But then it needs to be good enough that for the next one, they can be the main focus.
Well, yeah, and I don't give a shit after that.
I want more Ghostbusters. I like the idea, even if it's not... I would be fine for a reboot. I would rather a 3 to where they can pass it off.
Yeah.
But I want it one way or another. Because, I mean, there was talk a few years ago that Apatow was taking over.
Oh, yeah.
And there were those rumors that it was going to be
Jason
Paul
Siebel,
Rudd, Steve Carell, Seth Rogen, and Romani Malco.
Oh, there was a bunch of people.
But it's like... if you do 4, you can't just have the standard 3 white guys and black guy. I don't want a cripple like in that stupid fucking cartoon.
Oh, yeah, the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah, like, I don't want that, but you gotta mix it up.
Well, what do you have? You gotta have a girl in there, right?
Like a Kristen Bell? Like a spunky...
Elijah Dushku? I had heard she was rumored for a while.
Yeah, like, she would be good. Like, somebody that's spunky and fearless, kind of, you know, like a female like that would be awesome, I think. Add a whole new angle. Have a black guy.
Why can't we just have a black chick? Because that'll take care of both, right? Because we already had a black guy.
Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, she'd be all right.
I don't know. I want it one way or another.
I think we'll get it one way or another. There's too much money on the table for us not to get it. There are too many people interested in that franchise. Because
I think it's closer
it.
Than people think. I really do.
If
Bill Murray is willing to do stuff and he's saying like he's turned down so many scripts, but we're still working on it. If he didn't give a fuck, at some point he would have just been like, I'm just not going to do it. And I think he has enough respect that he would just tell him, like, look, just do it without me. Like,
well, yeah, there
kill
was,
off my character or something. But
well, for a while, that was kind of the rumor where they listen, guys, I'll do it, but you got to kill me off in the first act. And he was going to, you know, essentially be a ghost through the rest of the movie, which I guess kind of could have been cool. I would prefer to have Venkman through the whole movie because he was my favorite. But if that's what it would have to be, then, you know, that could still be funny.
I there's so much potential there. It's such an awesome story that I just want some sort of Ghostbusters.
Well, I think there will be. And I think that there might just be, you know, some of those movies that you look back and they hold up. But, you know, you had such an affinity for them as a child. And, you know, they're just, those are your movies. And when somebody fucks with them, not unlike the Turtles, not unlike, you know, G.I. Joe and Transformers, that at least I know I get my backup. And that aggravates me. But I think right now, what do you want to do? You want to go down and discuss maybe a list of five movies from our childhood that that we still love.
Yeah, as five movies, man-children. Five movies that we loved as children that still love today. Like we can still watch today, and it's not they hold up over time. Like it's not just that childlike love. You want to start with your number five?
No, why don't you start?
All right, The Black Cauldron.
Okay. The cartoon, right?
I never watched a lot of Disney cartoons. I just wasn't raised on them. Saw The Black Cauldron.
That was dark for Disney, especially at that time.
It was so good. I read the book right after. I played the video game on the old MS-DOS computer.
Jesus, there was
computer.
A video game.
Yeah, it was
I read
awesome.
The book. Yeah.
It was just, and to this day, like my daughter, she's watched it. Mm-hmm. Like it's a little boring now. Like for a kid's movie, it's really boring. But it's really good. I gave a copy to my nephew when he was born. Like,
yeah.
Just this, I love this movie.
Yeah, that's
still
that's a good pull. That is a movie I had kind of forgotten about. I read the book when I was in middle school, and I was like, oh, this is neat.
Yeah, and the movie was awesome. It's a little slow. It's the animation style puts me to sleep now, but I could still watch it. It's one of the few DVDs I still own.
Well, yeah, and that's I think that's kind of the point is, you know, a movie that you liked as a kid and that you're excited about the opportunity of being around children. So you can say, oh, look at this. This is pretty cool. You'll like it. I'm going to go with number five, The Princess Bride. That was one of my favorite movies as a kid. I still think it holds up now.
It's a classic.
Yeah. It is, you know, as Kevin Arnold famously says, like, love story, yuck. But it's, you know, it's a bit more than that. I think, like a couple of the movies that are on my list, some of the jokes absolutely go over your head when you're 8 or 9. Yeah. But then when you go back and watch it, it's funny.
Did you watch, this is a little off topic, did you see Stardust about 5 or 6 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, that was Michael Vaughn, right?
Yeah, Matthew Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn, yeah.
Yeah, that was as close to Princess Bride as we got, where just this epic, like, love that movie. Like, that movie's so underrated.
Good.
It's not Princess not Bride level,
exactly.
But it's the closest we've had, I think. My number four, Ghostbusters. Like, I absolutely loved Ghostbusters growing up. Like, huge into the cartoon. Like, I had the little proton packs. Like, I was just so into Ghostbusters. Like, the cartoon, the movie, all the toys. I had the firehouse. It was fucking awesome. Like, Ghostbusters were a huge part of my childhood. Mm-hmm. Huge part of my childhood.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get too much of an argument from me there. I love me some Ghostbusters. I had toys growing up. I'm not trying to say that I didn't, but I don't think they were necessarily from movies that I liked all that much. Although if there would have been a Maverick action figure that I could have got my hands on as a kid, either with or without a shirt, I'd have been all over it. I loved me, and still do to this day, I love me some Top Gun. No matter what Tom Cruise does for the rest of his life, he's Maverick to me, and that was a cool dude.
Fun fact about Top Gun. When I was younger and always had to go to my grandma and grandpa's, most boring times of my life. But my aunt, there was a movie theater about a half hour away. We'd always go. Like, if we were there for 3 days, she would take us to the movies, and we would see 2 or 3 movies in a day just to get us out of the house. One that sticks out to me, Top Gun Labyrinth, double bill.
Nice.
We saw both of them back to back, and it was just like, all right. Like,
that's a good day.
Yeah, like I hated going to my grandma's for like a week or so, but I knew that at least one of those days we're seeing 2 or 3 movies.
Yeah.
And that was one of those that stuck out to me. My number three, even bigger than Ghostbusters in my life, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Like, I loved the first movie.
First one was really good.
Because I read the comics. Mm-hmm. I was reading the comics when I was young. I loved the cartoon. I loved everything about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I had a pair of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajamas that I loved so much. I would wear them to school. And when people would say, dude, you're wearing pajamas, I'd say, they're not pajamas, they're pants. I knew they were pajamas. I didn't give any fucks because I wanted to wear them at school. My third grade picture is me with a mullet and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle t-shirt. Like, I fucking loved the Turtles growing up. Even more so than the Ghostbusters. Like, those two were my childhood. Like, those two things, if you want to go back and what made me happy as a child, it was those two.
I think there's a lot of guys age that...
I'm so cliche, but I don't care because
yeah,
it was true love. Like, it really was. And I watched the first one now, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Because it was a nice balance between the comics and the cartoon.
It was a little dark. I mean,
it was super
dark.
When
Raphael got his ass kicked, like, that was like, so oh, good. Jesus.
Fucking Shredder in the dumpster. Like,
yeah.
It was so good. And say what you want about Casey Jones having a boner through most of the movie, but it was fucking great. Like,
yeah, again,
I don't care how cliche I come off.
No,
I could still watch. I love 2, even. I love, yeah, 2's great. I'll fucking watch Secret of the Ooze whenever I can.
Yeah, I'll ninja rap. That's fine, man. I had that. I had the soundtrack.
I saw them in concert.
Me too. Coming out of the Shell tour.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I would fucking go to Pizza Hut, and Burger King had VHS tapes.
Yeah, they did.
I collected them all.
I got
all.
A couple of those.
I got the CD from Pizza Hut. I fucking saw them on tour. Like, I was fucking nuts about Turtles.
Yeah, I guess, like, now's kind of a good time to mention, like, usually maybe we come across as, I hope not, is kind of snobby and hipsterish. But, I mean, for
I hope not.
That's what I said. I hope not. But, you know, if we do, we're definitely making up for it right now by being the most commercial bastards ever. I'm going to probably get some commercial bastard cred for this. My number three, I had a couple VHS tapes that my parents would record a movie off the television, and
please say Crawl.
Oh no, my dad had Crawl, which I like. There was a tape that had like The Thing, which I loved. Crawl was on that tape, I think.
Red Sonja.
Yeah, Red Sonja was one of them. Conan the Destroyer, not Barbarian.
Yeah,
that was an awesome tape. But this particular tape had 2 of my next 3 movies on. The first of those 3, Empire Strikes Back. I really like me some Star Wars. I think Empire's the best.
I think it's by far the best.
That was the first one I'd ever seen, because that's the only one that my dad had on tape. So, like, yeah, I mean, I knew, spoiler alert, Darth Vader was Luke's dad. That really wasn't a big deal to me. But, yeah, Empire... great movie, lots of great merch, and I think that for most folks that are into the wars, Empire is kind of the one that everybody says, shit, that's the one.
Yeah, no, I still do, and Star Wars was, my brother was more into Star Wars. He's about 6 years older than me,
yeah.
He was in that time. Yeah. I had a lot of the toys as, like, trickle down. I still love Star Wars, but it's not the kind of thing, I don't get the same joy watching Star Wars now than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I still like to watch it once a year, maybe, but it's not that joy. Like all these other 5, I'll watch anytime.
Yeah.
Especially my top 2, I would say probably still top 10 movies for me. Like,
yeah,
overall,
I can say the same thing.
Overall, this second one might be in the 12 or 13 range, but Willow.
Yeah.
That movie is so good.
Thank you, George Lucas.
George R.R. Martin and whoever's making Game of Thrones, please watch Willow, because it's like Game of Thrones, but awesome. And like for like
without the sex,
without the boobs and without the breastfeeding, and just, I know the character names. Like, Willow is awesome. Willow is such a good story.
Yeah, it is.
And as far as effects, the brownies look a little weak at times. Like Kevin Pollak and the other guy.
Yeah,
but
it's hard to, I mean, you know, a movie can hold
else,
up, but
everything else
the special
holds up.
Effects, yeah, you can't
everything
really.
Everything else looks great. Like Willow, Val Kilmer, Mad Mardigan has to be one of my favorite characters in a movie ever. Like Mad Mardigan is so perfect. Val Kilmer nailed it. Like Val Kilmer, he's at a point in his career where I feel like people have forgotten how great he was. And he's going to be one of those where it'll take until he dies before people realize like,
how good.
Oh shit, he was in a ton of good movies.
Yeah.
And he was really good in
all of them. Oh shit, he was Iceman.
Yeah, like he's so good in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And Willow is like the pinnacle. Like he's so good in that. And that chick was so hot. I forget the actress's name, the one with the mask.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Just the whole movie's so good.
Like, what? Good flick. Good flick. That's, I think we had that on VHS too.
I remember seeing it in theaters.
Oh yeah. I actually, my next 2 movies I didn't see in the theater. I was a little young to see the first one. The second one I would love to have seen in theaters. That's Teen Wolf. I love me some Teen Wolf. It is. I'm not kidding. In my top 5 movies. And I know that, all right, it's, people are probably going to give me shit for it, but I think it's funny. I still laugh at the jokes. And I like sports movies, and it's kind of a sports movie.
It's a basketball movie, yeah.
Yeah, and man, the coach, like, just Jesus. The five ways, his five tips to lead your life are, you know, tremendous. I think they should apply to everyone. Michael J. Fox, like, to me, you know, people think Marty McFly. No, that's not where I go. It's Scotty Hamilton. That's
Michael J. Fox made some good movies. Like,
yeah, he did.
Back to the Future and Teen Wolf, but he made some good
Doc
movies.
Doc Hollywood was not bad.
Doc Hollywood was good. Greedy is great.
Yeah.
Greedy is fantastic. You went as Teen Wolf to a party I threw at one of my old houses.
Sure did. With. Yeah.
Yeah. So you like the MTV show?
No, I don't. I've actually never watched the MTV show.
I can't wait
show.
For the Gritty reboot of Mannequin they do. Number one, this is probably a top five movie ever for me. I was hooked the first moment I saw it. Watched it like 7 days in a row. Made my parents buy the VHS when it came out. And it's the kind of movie that when it first got a proper release on DVD, I literally watched it like every day. I could watch this movie every day for the rest of my life and never get sick of it. Gremlins.
Yeah, okay. I could
my
see
brother, I said earlier, my brother's like 6 or 7 years older than me. So he would, a lot of times we'd be left alone on a Friday night, but my parents would let us rent movies.
Mm.
He's older than me. He got to pick. So like, I didn't grow up on these Disney cartoons. I grew up on horror movies and action movies.
Whatever your brother wanted to watch.
And because I thank him for it because I skipped that like crappy, like I've just never been into family movies. But Gremlins, it's still to this fucking day, like that movie is perfect. It's fucking hilarious. There are laugh out loud parts. It's fucking frightening. Like there's just scary, brutal parts. Like it's, and you care about everybody. Like you care about
Gizmo.
Yeah, you care about Zach. You care about Gizmo. You care about his girl, Phoebe Cates. Like it's fucking amazing. Like everything about that movie is perfect to this day. Like to this day, still the bar scene is one of the funniest scenes ever. One of the most subtle things in any movie ever that makes me fucking die laughing is when she opens the door and it's the Gremlins Christmas caroling.
Mm.
And they're singing the Gremlins theme, but they're like looking down at the lyric sheet like real carolers. Like, it's so fucking subtle. People remember the stair chairs part of that. Mm-hmm. But
my grandmother had one of those.
Yeah, but like just the fucking, that movie's so good. And that's another one like,
You don't get the jokes, you don't get the subtleties when you're watching it as a kid, but that's why it stands up so well. You can go back.
But there was enough for me to love it still. Like, there was still enough for me to love it that I fucking love that movie to this day. Like, I love the second one. I love everything Gremlins.
Yeah.
And please let Dante make a third.
But, it would have to be. It would have to be Dante.
Because he'll only do it if it's practical puppets.
Mm-hmm. And good for him for sticking
which
up.
Which I'm fine, but in the first, like, I don't mind the multiple scenes. Like in the first one, when 100 of them are coming up the street, that looks like crap. Nothing would hurt making that CG.
Mm-hmm.
But the
close-ups,
the bar scene,
It's
fucking great. There's so much detail in there.
Yeah.
Like it's so fucking good.
So that's top five for you all time, or is it higher than that?
That's top five. It might be four or five. Like it's right around there.
Okay. I would say for me, this is, if it is not my favorite movie ever, it is probably two or three, but it's Ghostbusters. Like, I mean, you talk about like understatement. Like, I mean, I can quote a shit ton of lines from Star Wars. I can probably quote more from Teen Wolf, and I'm damn sure I can quote even more from Ghostbusters. I mean, just the jokes are so quick. Like, where do these stairs go? They go up. Like, it's not funny when you're nine, but it is funny, you know, when you're 29.
And just the desperation of Venkman with Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
Like, you don't pick up on that when you're young, but just like, oh, this dude's so desperate to get laid. That's all it is.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't give a fuck about this business. He wants to get laid, and he ends up saving the city in the process. Like, that stuff goes over your head at the time, but there's so much. Like, it's an adult. There's a lot of adult stuff in that movie.
Well, yeah.
There's some slow stuff, like all the accountant jokes. Mm-hmm. And, like, there are parts where it's slow, but I didn't give a fuck as a kid. Like, there was enough there that kept me interested in all that stuff. Like,
yeah, there was monsters and, you know, all sorts of just crazy shit. But I mean,
a ghost blowjob?
Yeah. Yeah. That one, I can remember, you know, probably watching that as a teenager going, whoa, wait a minute. Did Ray just get his dick sucked by? Wow, that's kind of weird. I had never noticed that as a child, but sure as hell did now. Yeah.
No, I'm not a landmarky type person. Like, I'm not a touristy person, but when I'm in New York, I have to go by the Ghostbusters Museum.
Oh, no, I know.
Just because it just feels awesome.
My buddy sent me a picture of the lions, and that's all it was just
that's all you need.
Yeah, and I was like, God damn it. All right, I know exactly where you are. And never having been there myself, like, I know exactly the geography of where that is. And it's Ghostbusters. Great movie. Oh, I think actually all five of those from both of us.
There's some obvious ones we miss. Like, I think most people our age, Back to the Future's probably going to be on there.
I think so, yeah.
I think I never got into it, but I'm sure Goonies would be a lot
I was
going to
say, that's one that I didn't mention, but
I didn't see
I love me
I
some
didn't
Goonies.
See it until I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And by that point, the ship had sailed.
Ship had sailed.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't into it. What else did you have on your list that we didn't mention?
Just looking through real quickly, I would say there's three that I really wanted to mention that I didn't. The first one, Major League. I love that movie. I'm a Cleveland sports fan, have been my entire life. And I think the fact that as Cleveland sports fans, we got our own movie and it was Major League and the Indians don't even win the World Series in it. Like, they get beat. That it doesn't happen in the movie. When you watch Major League 2, you find out they lost like as soon as they got to the playoffs, and only in Cleveland would that happen. Beetlejuice, I like quite a bit. And the original Transformers movie, I will probably still cry today if I watched it.
Now those are solid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I have many more that I could go to. So.
Well, fair enough. I mean, you asked for five. I wanted to have.
No, I know.
I was afraid they'd all.
Like, I threw in Back to the Future and Goonies just as, like, I'm sure those are popular picks. Yeah. I do love Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
I think we disagree. I think two holds up better.
Yeah, you're more of a two guy. I've never liked two. Never.
I like the intricacies of two. Like, there's so much going on. Like, just the way that's crafted. And the way it was written, I think it's so brilliant just how there's so many, how detail-oriented it is. I like that.
I won't argue with you. I guess, you know, you argue 1A, 1B, what's better. They're both, the third one's not great.
That and Turtles 3, I just pretend don't exist.
Turtles 3 is god-awful. But yeah, I mean, they're good movies. I'm sure everybody's probably got their own that, you guys are
If you
nuts.
Have a top, email them to us, tweet them at us.
Yeah, I'd like
Facebook. I'd like to see what people want to say. Just five movies you loved as a kid that you still love
today. It doesn't
have
to be from the 80s. I mean,
Younger, if you're eight, older, give whatever. Us movies you liked 5 years ago. I don't care. Just send them to us. Like, this is the kind of stuff I like hearing from about people. So, you want to get back to today?
Do we? Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess it's kind of it's today, but it is a movie that doesn't need a sequel. And quite frankly, I'm pissed that it's getting a sequel. And that is Raging Bull 2. That's a serious thing. There's going to be a sequel to Raging Bull. And William Forsythe is going to play an older Jake LaMotta. And they're having somebody play a younger, way younger Jake LaMotta. Because it's going to be a prequel slash sequel slash dumpster fire.
Why isn't an old Robert De Niro playing an old Jake LaMotta?
Well, why isn't Martin Scorsese directing this? Because they both know that it's going to be
a
terrible idea.
Full disclosure, I haven't seen Raging Bull.
I mean, it's the story of, you know, the real boxer, Jake LaMotta.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes up to a certain point of his life, and the justification for making a sequel is, well, you know, this is about, you know, what happened to the boxer after the movie came out, and there's enough stuff there, they say.
That's a nice approach.
It's an interesting approach, but like Raging Bull is one of critics can argue, but I mean, it's a great movie. I mean, it's probably not my favorite Scorsese movie, but he's got a lot that are up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that it's gotta be like maybe easily top 50 all time, and there doesn't need to be a sequel. And I can't imagine that there's going to be a sequel for any other reason than, it's been 30 years and more than that probably. And we can squeeze some more money out of this. I mean, if there was a viable story to be told, I think Martin Scorsese would be able to tell it.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that there was a government agency that was run by me, because I wouldn't trust the government to do it. But whenever there was a shitty idea like this, they could just not just hear about it somehow and strike it down very quickly. Not unlike the government in 1984, which Noah Oppenheim has been hired to write an adaptation of. You may know Noah Oppenheim from his work as being a television producer for Hardball with Chris Matthews and his work on the Today Show.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. He'd be the perfect guy to go ahead and adapt 1984. What you may not know about Noah Oppenheim is the guy is kind of a screenwriter. He's getting a lot of work. He's doing the War Games remake, which I guess could be okay.
Especially like if you look at technology.
Yeah.
Like, War Games now compared could to what use, it was then could definitely go. I could see an updated version being awesome.
So yeah, that's fine. All for. Yeah. And he's also writing The Secret Life of Houdini, which will be directed by Gary Ross.
The movie he's doing instead of Catching Fire.
I think this sounds cool, though. Yeah. It's kind of about Houdini trying to prove that people are charlatans, which was, you know, a big, obviously, trying to get out of straitjackets and proving that other people were full of shit was kind of Houdini's bag. I don't know how any of these scripts look. I don't read any of this stuff. Yeah, that's true.
He's
got somebody convinced?
Yeah, he's got a couple good projects, so he had to have written a decent spec script out there somewhere to be getting these solid projects.
Which,
so.
I mean, you know, these are, except maybe with Houdini, they have kind of some cachet going into it. I mean, War Games was a fairly popular movie from its time, and 1984
is a classic.
Yeah. Have you read that book?
No.
Neither have I. Wow.
But like The Secret Life,
we're gonna have to give back our personal pan pizzas.
The whole Gary Ross left Catching Fire because he didn't feel like they'd have enough time to put together a good script. And now this guy is writing the script for his next movie. So I don't know. I like stories of. I hope everything works out for him. I could see some of these projects being decent. So.
I'd like him to be good. I mean, I'd like to see an updated War Games that is good. I'd like to see a version of 1984 that's good as well. It's a cool idea, and if you can imagine a film about Walt Disney trying to acquire the rights to do Mary Poppins, that's on the horizon. We've got a little bit of a cast starting to take shape. Tom Hanks is going to play the racist Walt Disney. Colin Farrell is in talks to play the father in a flashback of P.L. Travers, the young lady that wrote Mary Poppins, who is going to be played not in flashback, but by Emma Watson.
Again, I think she's going to have a great career.
This looks like it'll be a good one.
It's a cool story.
Yeah.
And with Hanks involved and like it's getting a good cast, like it's a cool story because she didn't want to sell Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was so personal to her. She didn't want to sell it. And then it became one of the most popular movies ever.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so spoiler alert, Disney does get the rights to make the movie, but...
Yeah. Plus, I'd like to see Tom Hanks as Walt Disney. Like, I think that's a good combination right there.
Yeah, and Tom Hanks is one of those guys that, you know, if he signs on to do something, usually I give him the benefit of the doubt, and I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Walt Disney or necessarily Walt Disney flicks, but this sounds interesting. Everybody knows the Mary Poppins story, so it'd be interesting to see how the story, you know, came to light. A story that may not be as interesting is Gus Van Sant's new project, The Promised Land. By the time it may actually be released before we all get killed from the fracking that's kind of all the rage in our area. The injection well. I mean, if you're not from, you know, Ohio, Pennsylvania, or Texas, maybe you think fracking and you think, oh, this is a movie about the Battlestar Galactica. If only it was. No, it stars Matt Damon and John Krasinski, and it's just about kind of the state of our country.
It's Gus Van Sant.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know what happened to him. Like, after Good Will Hunting, I liked Finding Forrester, but then this dude just started doing whatever the fuck he wanted.
And he's still doing it.
And I've never given a shit about anything. He's just not good. I like Damon, I like Krasinski, but... I'd like to see if it's another like mainstream Gus Van Sant, like in the vein of Good Will Hunting or Finding Forrester. Like if he goes back to that,
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but I'd like to. I'd like, but I mean, not holding out hope.
I know the movie's not all about the fracking. It's just part of, you know, a larger story. But I just feel like this is going to be slow and boring. Joe Cornish will do his best not to wreck a cyberpunk classic as he boards Snow Crash.
I'm so excited about this. This movie's just about... It came out in 1992 by Neal Stephenson. Way ahead of its time.
It's a book.
Yeah, it's a book. Like, super technological. Like, there's this drug that gets transmitted through a computer screen, and the government just runs everything.
Like porn.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it kills you, not gets you off. But it's just a really cool, like, story.
Like tranny porn.
Yeah. They tried to do it in the early 2000s, and it kind of fell through. Joe Cornish is perfect for it. If you've seen Attack the Block, like, because the main character who, shit you not, the name is Hero Protagonist, is the name of the main character. He is a computer hacker, a samurai swordsman, pizza delivery guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty standard.
So if you've seen Attack the Block,
yeah,
he paid direct homage to this character in Attack the Block, mm-hmm. like directly. So we go back to directors not giving a fuck about the source material. This is the opposite. Like, the second Joe Cornish read this book, he knew he wanted to make this movie, and now he's getting that opportunity. So
because of the success of Attack the Block, and because of, you know, some like we talked about it before, like Kevin Smith getting behind projects and lending his name. I mean, I think with Edgar Wright getting behind Attack the Block, that really helped it have the success
Edgar Wright,
it should have had.
But he's also having success as a screenwriter.
Yeah.
Like, he wrote Tintin, which was a $100 million movie. He co-wrote it with Edgar Wright, but he co-wrote Ant-Man that's directed by Edgar Wright. So, it is the thing where he's got talent, and he's lucky to have a friend that's already broke through. And, I mean, he's got it to sustain, though. It's not a Jason Mewes-type situation to where he can succeed with him. Like, he can do it on his own, and he proved that with Attack the Block.
Yeah.
And he's getting jobs. He's getting offers. Like, he turned down stuff to do Snow Crash. Like, he's only had one feature, and he's in a position to where he can make what he wants, pretty much. Like, he's picking.
I guess you would call, I guess you'd have to. Like, I don't like the guy, but I guess you'd have to say that Johnny Depp's had a very successful career. I mean, he started with the Nightmare on Elm Street movie, where he was just a cute guy that got eaten by his bed. And now he's making a $250 million Lone Ranger movie. Yep, that's right. It was close to $300 million. They said, whoa, you guys got to back that off. So they backed it off, and now it's back up to $250 million. That's a lot of silver.
Here, I don't understand how Gore Verbinski is still getting hired to direct movies.
Because Johnny Depp
wants
him
hired.
He is
always over budget. This movie was a $300 million budget. It had werewolves. It had a supernatural element to it for the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
And they cut all that out. And now he's still going long. This shoot's like a month behind or a week behind. And it's pushing up the... Like, he can't stay on budget. But he's getting these big budget... If you give him a budget of $150 million, it's going to cost you $250.
At least, yeah.
So I don't understand how he's getting these big budget movies still. Because I guess... I don't know. I guess Rango was an okay hit, but...
Yeah, I liked Rango. I liked it better than the Pirates movies.
Yeah, I just... I don't... I can't see... I can't fathom a world where this Lone Ranger movie starring Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp as an Indian, where it is a huge hit and makes $300 million domestically. Like, yeah, it'll maybe make $250. I don't even see it getting $200 here. Like, I think you're looking at like $130, $140 million best case scenario for this movie. And then a couple hundred overseas.
I really think that they're banking on the Pirates element, where, you know, like, look at what, you know, Gore Verbinski and Johnny Depp did for a pirate, a franchise, Pirates. You know, that's kind of played out, and maybe they can do the same thing for Westerns. And I do think there's a little bit of credibility still left with his name with the public. And I think Johnny Depp helps a lot, too. So, I mean, I think it's got a shot, but, you know, when you... Right now, when the movie's not done and we're looking at a budget of $250, it does, you know, you get close to that $300 million mark just for your budget.
Plus,
is it too late?
Like, there's a difference between making, like, you make Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now. People that love Ninja Turtles growing up, we're going to movies.
It is, yeah.
Who loved The Lone Ranger growing up?
That's going to be able to go out and see it in the theaters.
They can still
now.
Walk, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think they missed the target for that.
About
but they're,
20 years.
They're still banking that Johnny Depp can bring him in. I guess we're in about the 20-year range for another Mad Max movie, Fury Road, the title of that one. And it looks like the Megan Fox replacement, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, has joined the cast that's already featuring Tom Hardy and a freshly shaved top of her head, Charlize Theron.
I cannot wait for this.
Because it has Tom Hardy.
Well, no, I was excited because he got this shortly after Bronson. Like, he's mm-hmm. been on board for Mad Max for a long time. Before, like, right after Bronson hit, he got hired as Mad Max. So it's been a while in the making, but Charlize Theron, like, is going all out. Everything she said about her character is just, she's vicious. And then the fact that she shaved her head, like, this Huntington-Whiteley, whatever, that seems lame to me, but fuck, Tom Hardy is Mad Max. It's the same director from, his name's escaping me, but same director is doing this one. So it's going to be true, but, like, if you watch Mad Max, it does not hold up.
No, but really, I mean, that was an old movie. It was from 1979, Mad Max was. And, you know, the budget wasn't that big either. It was George Miller
that directed it.
But, yeah, it's very tough for a movie that's old and has a low budget to hold up to now. But, yeah, it was, I mean, when you think of, you know, post-apocalyptic movies, everybody immediately thinks of Mad Max.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see where they go with it. I do like the people that are involved.
It's got Nicholas Holt from Skins, the UK version of Skins. He was in the first Clash of the Titans. It's got Lenny Kravitz's daughter. Like, the cast is pretty awesome. I'm very excited for this movie, not just because of Tom Hardy.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that... I don't mean to say that you shouldn't be excited to see Tom Hardy in something, because he's good, and I think he'll do well with this, and maybe he can pattern his career after Mel. He's an Aussie, got a start in this movie. He turned out okay. Movie that I don't think is going to turn out okay, to complete our trilogy of what the fuck is Paramount doing, they've put Sean Levy, the guy that did Night at the Museum, to develop a John Hughes version of Mad Max with monsters. And if it's not called Weird Science Fiction, I'm going to be pissed.
I don't even know if there's monsters. It's like Monsters in the title, but everybody's unclear as to whether monsters are in there. So, I mean, it's a post-apocalyptic teenage love story. like
Zombieland.
It's not, yeah. It sounds
right,
exactly
that,
like
that's
Zombieland,
what I'm saying. Like,
which
already,
I didn't like, so I'm no
Yeah, you didn't
in
like.
Movie.
But... I can't imagine liking Zombieland better if it was directed by Sean Levy. Oh, actually, you know what? That doesn't complete our what the fuck is Paramount doing. This will. Paramount is in talks to bring Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell video game to the big screen.
I don't think that's that bad of an idea.
I think if they were going to make a Splinter Cell movie, the time to do it would
have... Oh, it's late.
Oh,
it's past.
God, yes.
But I think it's a cool character that you can do. I think you can do cool... People like spy stuff.
Yeah,
people like spy stuff. People like stealthy ninja type stuff. He's like, it's like a combination of both. He's not a ninja, but he's doing stealthy stuff.
Yeah, very much so.
I think the time has passed, but...
Yeah, I think if they're going to do anything right now, like a Ghost Recon movie would be the game franchise that I would adapt, but you know, whatever. Paramount, they know what's up. Catherine Bigelow has found her Osama bin Laden. It'd be unknown British fella Ricky Skaten has already shot the part.
For Zero Dark Thirty, yeah. When I first heard about a fucking Hunt Osama movie, I didn't care, but this cast is awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about the British guy, but I mean, there was.
I don't know about this guy, but there was question whether
Osama would even be in the movie,
right?
Yeah.
Like, or if he's just gonna be shot later, but so I mean it'll be, I'm interested now, like there's enough to, I don't know what this movie's gonna be because the cast is so diverse. It's not just 10 action stars. Like, I don't know what
this movie's... It's not the Expendables.
Yeah. Like, right. I don't know what this movie's going to be. And the cast is awesome, so I'm...
But she's a hell of a director.
She's an awesome director.
And I'll absolutely see it. Just if nothing else, just to kind of see, you know, where they're going with it. In more dudes you've never heard of news, Nebraska Wesleyan University, that's a real place, drama student James Hamrick has been cast as Damien Eccles in Adam Egoyan's film The Devil's Knot about the West Memphis Three.
I don't think we need a West Memphis Three.
Just watch documentaries.
Watch Paradise Lost 1 through 3. Like,
right.
Watch the millions of other documentaries.
The Dateline specials that have been
I guess it's just because the story's so depressing. I don't... And you have Adam Egoyan. Fuck. That dude is... He's never done anything not depressing. Like,
well,
this movie's
going
to be a fucking downer.
It's going to be hard. You know, it would be difficult to tackle a story when kids get
when
murdered.
When three kids get murdered and three other kids get sent to prison for it. Like,
yeah, that's hard not to be depressing. There's nothing he can do about that. But yeah, like we're saying, I don't know that we need, you know, a feature film version of this when the documentaries are just awesome.
The documentaries are perfect.
You get everything
and
more.
They're free now. They're out now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not.
Is the third one out yet? I know it's done,
they're
but
out. The West Memphis 3 are free.
Right.
But
spoiler alert.
It's just such a depressing story.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, I think I can probably skip that movie. Not going to be skipping RoboCop as much as I may want to. It seems like there's a couple movies that we talk about every week because they've just added someone to the cast.
They just keep casting.
Yeah.
And it keeps getting awesome.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say every week it gets a little bit better. This week they have found their villain and the CEO of that OmniCorp corporation. It's going to be House. Hugh Laurie. Yeah.
I think he's going to be awesome. Like, you want big personalities for the RoboCop villains. And so far they have Sammy Jackson and Hugh Laurie.
Yeah. If Samuel Jackson is going to be a villain, which I would assume, probably, but yeah, I'm okay with that. I can't really, I think that fits perfectly. Another bit of perfect casting, I think. Spaceship Captain James Olmos.
R.I.P.
Oh,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't listened to that yet. Has been added to Machete Kills.
That's just another sexy person added to that cast that's just all sex appeal.
Another sexy, sexy man added late to Django Unchained was supposed to play a different character, but he got kind of busy making Oscar movies. Jonah Hill will now be in QT's Django Unchained.
Yeah, he was the first choice for a part, had to turn it down. I think, is that Sacha Baron Cohen playing that part now?
I think so.
And then now he's just like, hey, I got nothing going on. So he's in it now as a completely different character.
Which, hey, more power to you. I mean, yeah. Take him while you can. I mean, the kid's good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
And I mean, QT obviously wanted him.
Mm-hmm. So. And was willing to work him in just to get him in the movie however he could. So God bless him. Ray Winstone, in other villain news, has been cast to play the villain in Darren Aronofsky's Noah. I guess he's not playing a rain cloud.
I like Winstone. I think he's a good villain. This movie, I don't know.
No idea.
I don't give a fuck about Noah. I hate Russell Crowe, but this movie's shaping up to be something I want to see just to see what the fuck it is.
Exactly. It's a bit like the Catherine Bigelow thing, except this could be really strange.
Yeah.
The artist in talks to play the banker. Jean Dujardin has been rumored to play a crooked Swiss banker in another movie that just keeps adding people every week. Scorsese's Wolf of Wall Street.
That's an Oscar movie.
I think so, yeah.
Like, without a second being filmed, that's going to get a Best Picture nod.
And just the acting nods, too.
The
I mean,
cast is putting together Scorsese.
Throwing so many people in it, yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good one. Christopher Nolan is going to produce his longtime DP. If you say the word DP and Wally Pfister, you think that's a joke. But it's not. He's director of photography for a lot of Nolan's movies. Wally Pfister is his actual name.
With a P.
With a P. Yeah, with a PF. Pfister.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, but what are you going to do? Chris Nolan's directing his directorial debut. So another, you know, big ups to Chris Nolan for getting behind a guy and trying to help
him out. I mean, this happened. Like, I mean, Matthew Vaughn was an offshoot of Guy Ritchie. It's just, mm-hmm. I like when directors do that. When you have somebody talented with you, and you help them shoot off into their own.
We mentioned a little bit about Catching Fire earlier. And we've actually been talking about some of the horror stories that they're trying to avoid in their casting. Philip Seymour Hoffman would not be a horror story. Anything, if you can get him in anything, you should probably do it. Apparently, they've offered him the role of, I don't know, take this one.
Plutarch Heavensby.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a good fit. I mean, he's a good actor. I think
he's a good actor. I'll give him that. I don't know. Yeah, no. Dick about the role.
He'd be good. Like,
sure he would.
I don't know. I hope the second one's good. I really do. I hope Catching Fire is. It's my favorite book of the three, so I hope it's good. It's the hardest. I've said it before, though. It's going to be the hardest to make.
Well, so. I mean, I don't know how big a character this guy is in the book, but I mean, he can't hurt you. I mean, he's only gonna help. One guy, I don't know if he can hurt you because I really haven't seen him act. But I can tell you that if this is the only movie he's ever in, I will never see him act. And that is Adam Levine going to star in Can a Song Save Your Life?
Not if Adam Levine's singing it.
Oh!
Ayo!
That will be, in case that doesn't do it for you, be directed by the fellow that directed Once.
I set myself up for that one.
Why?
No, in the way I wrote the outline, I set myself up for that joke.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine.
And I delivered.
Yeah, well, good. I'd have been pissed if you just, like, set that up and just kind of didn't do anything.
I never saw it once.
No. No, neither did I. Yeah. And I'm not going to see this thing either.
No.
So, yeah, if a song could save your life, we'll both end up being dead.
Yeah.
Jason Mantzoukas will join the cast of They Came Together.
It's another movie. This is a funny, funny cast. Jason Mantzoukas is super, super funny. Yeah, kind of under the radar right now. Like, he's in The Dictator, but I don't think he's not a household name yet. He's funny enough to where he should be. So, I like seeing him be in this because David Wayne puts together great casts. Yeah. Like, he puts together great ensemble casts.
And he does feature everyone, too.
And he features everyone. That's the thing. It's not like, that was my beef with Bridesmaid. You had this great ensemble cast. You featured three of them. Whereas, like, David Wayne does a fantastic job of everybody gets their chance to shine. So, I think Mantzoukas is perfect for that style.
Would you say that he's pitch perfect for that style?
I would not.
That doesn't matter because that's my segue into our trailer section. Really kind of light on trailers this week, but there, you know, are a couple that are worth talking about. And I gotta say, like, I was reading what this movie is gonna be about, this Pitch Perfect, and I thought, oh, it's like Glee for adults.
It's basically Sing It On.
Yeah,
it's Bring
It
On
for
a cappella people.
And I thought, boy, I don't give a shit. But then, then I saw Anna Kendrick, and I thought, all right, now I'm interested.
I'm so attracted to Anna Kendrick that I think it's unhealthy for, like, me and her. Like, I think it's just not a good situation how attracted I am to her.
Do you think it made her sick? Because she looks a little thin.
I'm all for it. I think she did it for me. Like, I'm a big Anna Kendrick fan. I think she's awesome in everything she does. She does some crap, so I don't see everything she does. Like, I'm not going to see what to expect, but if they would cut out her parts, I would. I think she's awesome. I'm not going to see the Twilights.
I saw one of the Twilights, and she was. I knew she was in it, and I was like, well, all right. I'll count time. And oh, there she goes.
Like, I like her.
Yeah.
And the movie looks pretty okay.
I
given the material, like,
yeah. I'm nervous, though.
It's not the
kind
of thing that I'm. I mean, I like Bring It On.
Yeah, no, you do.
I liked Stick It. So I like these kind of movies. It's not the same person at all. It's just the same kind of movie. You got one of the Workaholics guys.
Yeah.
Is like the male lead, it appears.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it looks interesting.
I think this might be a movie that I'm going to talk myself into thinking it's going to be good. And then probably not. But I mean, you know, if I would say if you're a fan of Glee, I mean, you'd probably like this because it is the singing and it is the dancing, but they're not taking it seriously.
You want to know a fun fact about me and my co-host Ryan here? One night we went out to a bar and had dinner and a couple beers, then went back to my apartment and watched Bring It On 3 from start to finish, all the way through.
Yeah.
We said we were going to watch it until our friends came over. Our friends were downstairs the whole time.
In fairness, we knew that.
Yeah.
And didn't give a shit.
No, it was Hayden Panettiere. I knew Rihanna was going to show up.
Yeah.
So I'll see Pitch Perfect. If I sat through Bring It On 3.
That's true.
So
we're not going to see it together, though.
No,
you've got kids now, and that's not going to happen. I don't think that we're really going to get together and try and beat the crowds into the theater to see Resident Evil Retribution, which is like the fifth of its name or what?
Can I say something though?
You can say whatever
Did
you want.
Did you watch the trailer?
Fuck no. I usually do, but
it
no.
It actually looks okay. I thought the first Resident Evil, I thought it was good.
It wasn't bad.
I thought the first one was good. Second one, I couldn't get through.
No.
Third one didn't even bother. Fourth one didn't even bother. I was in a band named after a fucking Resident Evil character, but I've never cared about Resident Evil.
Jill Valentine?
Wesker.
Oh.
But this one, the trailer makes it look okay. Until, it's like, it's a weird trailer. It's set up, the beginning, it's just her and her family, and then they're attacked by zombies. Michelle Rodriguez is back. I'm pretty sure she died.
She died in the first one.
She's back.
this is bullshit.
But it's like, it actually looks decent. Like, it looks like there's some good action. There's some good story. But then with about 45 seconds left in the trailer, it's Mila Jovovich in 3D.
Well, yeah, the and last then, one was in 3D.
I know, but then it's like the trailer takes a turn and it goes from showing this awesome action footage to like showing a whip come at the camera, showing a knife come at the camera. It's like they just throw as much 3D as possible in the last 40 seconds. Completely turned me off. But like up until that point, I'm thinking, this trailer looks okay.
Does Mila Jovovich do anything except make Resident Evil movies
the
anymore?
The fourth kind. That found footage. That
yeah, you're right.
That was a very unique
movie.
I
didn't mind that
People
one.
People shit on it, but
yeah,
it's,
I didn't mind
I
it.
I think it's worth watching once because
yeah, I'll give you that.
It was unique. It was different, mm-hmm. and I was all for it. Yeah. Like I saw it in theaters. It's not a great movie, but I like how different it is.
Yeah.
But like in the Resident Evil, this is what's wrong with 3D. This is why we're having bad 3D movies, because people don't want 3D now for the shit coming at your face.
No, that was like
1980s. That was the
1980s. Yeah.
People want now for atmosphere, mm-hmm. but you have movies like fucking Resident Evil that thinks it's just at your face.
Yeah. And
no.
Well, I mean, I guess obviously it worked well enough last time that they thought, oh, let's make another Resident Evil in 3D and people will come to see it. And they probably will. And, you know, God bless them. I will not be one of them. The movie where the jury's kind of out on whether or not I'm really going to see this, Sinister, Ethan Hawke. It looks like every horror movie that we've already seen.
This was like a roller coaster because it starts off with like, oh, somebody gets murdered in the house. Oh, Ethan Hawke's going to move into it. Oh, I've seen
Amityville
this a million
horror.
Times. But then shit starts happening and I'm like, this is kind of interesting. Like this, but then it says from the people that brought you Insidious.
And it looks exactly like Insidious.
No, it looks... Here's the thing. Doesn't matter how good of a mood I'm in. If you bring up Insidious, I get physically angry. Like, this... I don't remember a movie recently that has made me so pissed off. Because with Insidious, the first 40 minutes was really, really good. Like, it was... Have you seen Insidious?
Yeah. I actually don't get physically angry with the movie.
Don't tell me you liked it.
I thought it was all right. In fairness, I saw it at a drive-in. So, like, really, if you don't, like, sneak into my car and eat all my popcorn, then I'm fine.
But,
and it was all right.
Like, I love Rose Byrne. Absolutely love her. But not Anna Kendrick's level. But like, the first 40 minutes is good. It's unique. There's good scares. It's different. But then it takes that fucking turn with the most... Where Patrick Wilson's character... I saw from the very beginning that... He had a fucked up childhood. Like, that was so obvious. Then it takes that fucking turn.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but then you see fucking the trailer for Sinister, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of the same kind of ideas.
It's the, oh, look at that creepy thing in the picture.
Yeah, but it's really cool looking in the trailer, but I'm just worried, does it take a turn?
I think it's going to. It's going to have that turn. It's formulaic. It's like every horror movie that we've seen for probably the last 7 years.
It is.
All and rolled into
this
one.
This is probably Stranger's effect. Because the Strangers, that trailer was really fucking good. It didn't look, there wasn't a lot unique about it, but it looked like it might be unique enough. Like the trailer for the Strangers was good.
I thought the same thing about Vacancy.
Exactly. That's yeah. another one. Like, mm-hmm. it's that kind of effect where, yeah, it's a dime a dozen movie, but the trailer makes you think it's, but then it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Sinister trailer was better than the Insidious trailer.
Yeah.
And maybe they, it's a lot of the same stuff. There are some, I think the trailer is worth watching because there are some cool things.
You know what? Like, watch it because I think people will like this movie. There's going to be a lot of people that like this movie. You're not going to be one of them. And
if it doesn't take that turn, I'm okay.
I think people just have this issue with horror movies more than anything else where they feel like they have to figure out what's going to happen. They have to figure out what the ending is before you get there. And so writers are now trying to take that into account and, you know, having some twist in it that, okay, there's no way in hell anyone's going to think of this. And then the plot kind of goes to shit. And I think as moviegoers, we're now expecting that. So we're kind of trying to outguess the stupidity. Coming to theaters this week, not Sinister, but Brave, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, and Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. Limited release, To Rome with Love, The Invisible War, and Kumare.
See, this is going to be a weird weekend. Seeking a Friend, it's one of those like indie-wide releases. Mm-hmm. Like, it's on 1,500 screens, which your wide releases are usually in the, you know, 25 to 3,000.
Kind of like Crazy Stupid Love, right?
A little bit, yeah. Like, so, I mean, but Steve Carell's likable. Keira Knightley's likable.
Yeah, she is.
It's getting promoted well. I'm going to say, what I'm interested to see on 1,500 screens, let's set the over-under at 12.
I'm going to go under just because we have a Pixar movie coming out that week.
Yeah. I'm thinking the same. I'd like to see, I think if it did 12 or 13, that's fantastic and that's great and it's instantly a hit, but mm-hmm. I think 7 or 8's more realistic.
It's a low number of screens. I mean, it is, I think there'd be a lot of, you know, couples that would be interested in going to see that movie.
Cause it's such a huge contrast from what else is out there.
Exactly.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Cause you have Brave, your family movie, mm-hmm. which 60.
I'm going to go over.
Okay. Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. This is, I don't know what interest there is.
What did you say for Brave? Are you taking the over or the under?
I
just want to get you on tape. You wormy bastard.
Madagascar did 55, and then it did another 35 the second weekend. I think Brave has, I'm going over.
Yeah, it's the Pixar.
I think it'll be huge. Yeah. I think it'll be over by a good amount, which will hurt Abraham Lincoln, which you'd think...
I don't know that it's going to hurt Abraham
Lincoln.
Well,
no, I'm thinking a movie like Abraham Lincoln released in June on a soft weekend probably pulls in 30 to 40. Over under at 20.
I will go under.
I am doing the same.
So we agree on all of them.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's going to be a weird weekend.
You're going to be wrong on all three.
I don't think so.
I'm the kiss of death.
It's going to be weird because there's two of my favorite movies of the year coming out this week on DVD.
This coming week, yeah.
But Ryan stole one of them.
Well, that's what happens when you write the outline. You get the first pick.
I'm still going to do two. One of them, Wanderlust, David Wayne. This is perfect, perfectly demonstrates what we were talking about ensemble comedies. Like, everybody had a chance to shine. Justin Theroux, I think, stole the show. Like, it's just a really good movie. It didn't get greatly received. It kind of bombed pretty big, but it's a really good movie. There's a lot of heart to it. Kind of falls apart at the end, but I'm a big David Wayne. I'm a big State fan. There's some fun cameos in it. Wanderlust was really, really good. Another movie releasing on DVD this week. I have not seen it yet, but the folks over at Geekscape.net love this movie. The FP. It's supposed to be the most fun, ridiculous movie of the year. It's like a Dance Dance Revolution action movie. Like, it's worth checking out. At least watch the trailer for it. See if it's... A lot of people whose opinions I respect, this is one of their favorite movies of the year. So check out the FP.
Yeah, all right. And fair enough. The other movie Dave had alluded to, and he's alluded to several times throughout the brief history of our podcast, Jeff Who Lives at Home. It's the Duplass Boys. You know, I feel like we've talked about it enough to where people have, you know, a decent idea of what
that
movie's all about.
So good.
Yeah. I felt like it was almost our solemn duty to let people know that it's available
to
go
see. It's
coming out
on DVD. It's so good. And it wasn't intentional that I brought Signs up like 5 minutes ago. Like, it's just so good. Like, just see this movie.
But that's it. Dave thinks it's great. I think it's, going to be worth seeing, and I will do so. You guys do so as well. Let us know what you think. hit us up on the Facebook. You have to search Movies On Up, but that'll get you to our page.
Or go to moviesonup.com and go straight to the Facebook page.
Nope, that's one way to do it. Hit us up on the Twitter at Movies On Up.
If you're listening and you enjoy it, please pass it on to your friends.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah,
I mean, just we love. I don't care how many people listen. I truly don't, because
I don't know.
I love talking about movies, but hopefully there's other people out there that like hearing people talk about movies. If you know somebody, pass them our way, because
I'm dying.
I know.
And if we only
have a couple shows left before Ryan is gone.
So please, like, the show's gonna go in the shit can after that.
But
so pass it on soon.
Yeah, please tell your friends, because I like talking movies and I want to get people involved. Email us anything you want. If you want to talk movies, you want to give us a topic, just email us moviesonup@gmail.com or find us on the Facebook. Definitely throw us your top five movies from when you were a kid.
Or even if it's not top five, you know, give us a couple. Yeah. Maybe there's one that's glaring to you that we missed.
In the next couple weeks, we're going to reach out for next week. I haven't told Ryan this yet, but we're going to reach out to you next week. So we just want, I hate to get sappy at the end, but I want listener interaction on the show, like, big time, because I can talk forever about movies. I know Ryan can. I want other voices in here, so just get a hold of us somehow.
Yeah, any of the ways, you know, moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter, Facebook. Those are good ways to get a hold of Dave, and he'll pass the information along to me.
You can find me personally on Twitter, at Dave Bisella, B-I-S-C-E-L-L-A. I also just completely redesigned my website, DaveBasella.com. That has info on all my other podcasts, such as Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave, Juggle Ohio stuff. It's got pretty much everything I've done up to this point in my life. So check out DaveBasella.com.
Does that have pictures of your kids?
Not yet. No. Maybe at some point. Yeah, I mentioned should. Them, but no pictures yet.
You made them.
They are cute kids.
Yeah, they are. I don't have kids. All I have is this podcast, so please listen to it, and please give it to other people to listen to. Get at us. Do all that stuff we say. Keep listening. Keep it up.